And now, we interrupt your previously scheduled programming for the PlayStation Forecast.
Woo.
I don't know why I did that. I thought I'd start with a bit exciting.
Something that's going to hit people instantly.
Yeah. I am going to start, like, before we go on. I've just been to the dentist, and I've got a numb mouth. So you might hear me spluttering away and mumbling a bit. I'll try my best, but my whole right side of my face is sort of drooping. So I'm holding it together. I'm dribbling a bit.
That's all right.
But no, we should be fine.
Nice. Yeah, fine. Mine's a bit scratchy. I picked up a cold over the weekend.
Everyone's got a cold now. It's literally, I'm sick of people telling me they've got a cold. I've had a cold for about 2 years.
I've got a cold.
Yeah. We live in England. It's what happens. You know, it's that time. It's cold month.
It is, yeah.
So yeah. Welcome to the first episode of the PlayStation Forecast, our new PlayStation podcast. Our first ever PlayStation podcast. We've never had a previous one. And if anyone says otherwise, they're lying.
No.
Yeah, this is brand new.
It's true.
All new. New feed, new name, new title. Same theme this week, I think, because I haven't finished a new one. But, you know.
It's true. Who are you? Who are you? You're Dave.
I'm Dave. Oh yeah, I forgot. I keep forgetting this is the first episode. Like, that's a good way to start. So I'm Dave. I'm the only one that you need to know about. I am also joined by Ben, but you know, it's one of them, isn't it?
Hey! I'm back in the fucking PlayStation world.
You are. About time.
I know, man. I know. I've been missing it big time.
So Ben had his PlayStation stolen. What was it now? 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, it's got to be. No. Beginning of September.
Oh, I thought it was longer.
No, it's only been about 3 months.
Yeah. 3 months is long enough, though, isn't it?
It feels longer, man. It really does.
So Ben's not had his PlayStation for the last 3 months. I've got a PlayStation, but I've not had one for the last... Well, I've only had one for about 6 months now. 6 months, I'd say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Obviously, we're the ideal people to run a PlayStation podcast.
Hey, now I've got mine back. I'm going to be right in it. I was substituting my gaming time with my... with my Steam library, which has got a lot of games on that I haven't played.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel the same sat at my you know, dining table on my PC than it does being able to sort of relax on the sofa.
No, I completely agree.
And kick back with a PlayStation.
My computer's powerful enough to run a lot of the games I play on the PlayStation at much better quality, and I still choose to play on the PlayStation, which is probably sacrilege to some people, but hey.
A lot of people will cry about that, but, you know, we get some fantastic exclusives on PlayStation.
Exactly.
And that's where you're going to play them.
But, you know, I've always had consoles. I'm, you know, ever since I was a kid, that's just it for me. Like, consoles, it's, you know, my PC is for work and strategy games because I ain't playing them with a controller.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, yes. So this is the PlayStation Forecast. We're going to, every week, bring you the latest news, chat, discussions, banter. That's really important these days.
Yeah, definitely.
Banter. Everyone wants the banter. We'll try and bring that. It's a bit of a struggle with Ben sometimes. He's a bit hit and miss, but we'll be all right, I'm sure.
Well, that's it. I'm only factual. I'll only discuss facts. No joy whatsoever.
No sense of humour.
No, none.
I'm not selling this podcast to people.
It's all right. It's episode zero. It's fine.
It is. This is episode one, actually. This is episode zero. We're not starting full blown yet. We're going to do that with Paris Games. Not Paris Games Week.
PlayStation Experience.
PlayStation Experience next week will be our proper episode one. This is just, we're just testing the waters, getting our feed up ready for that on iTunes, because that can always take a little while. And so we'll go into our, I would say big release chat. We've not got any big releases really, so
I've got a little release chat little
that
release.
A bit weird.
I now have a PlayStation 4 unit again, yay. But with it, I got it as one of the Black Friday bundles. It was a 500 gig PlayStation 4, one of the new models, which I'm not so keen on. But I got FIFA 18, which I won't open because I'm not fussed about FIFA. I also got GT Sport, which I'm sort of interested in, but everyone's selling those back to retailers, so I'd have got maybe a poke in the eye for it to have handed it back to a retailer. So I'm going to keep that and maybe play it later. But the game I have played that I picked up It's called Knowledge is Power.
This is the Playlink game.
Yes, yes. It's a Playlink quiz game.
Ooh.
Essentially, you go up against other people answering questions. You gain points for not just correctly answering the question, but the speed in which you answer. So if two of you answer the question correctly, the person who is quickest will get, say, 300 points, and the person who comes after them will get 200. If you don't answer correctly, you don't get any points. So it's not just about answering correctly, it's all about the speed you do it in as well. And essentially, you're looking at your TV screen. It'll ask you a question on your TV screen, and then the answers will pop up on your phone. You had to download an app just called Knowledge is Power to be able to play along. So you're constantly switching between looking at your TV and looking at your second screen, whether that's your phone or a tablet, to have to answer these things. And it was fun. Three of us played. And part of the game is you get to chuck sort of either bombs, or you freeze your opponents or throw gloop at them, which essentially puts an effect on your phone screen, on your second screen, to make it harder to answer the questions. Sometimes letters can be taken away from the answers, so you don't get a full answer. Or, as I say, your screen's covered in gloop and you have to sort of swipe that away. So essentially it's trying to make you take longer to answer the question, giving your opponents a slight advantage. But as I say, it's fun. We've only played a couple of games, so we've only answered something like 25 questions in total. And the topics are quite broad.
Is it like just general knowledge?
Well, there's a lot of general knowledge. Before each question, you get to pick a category. And we had categories coming up that was like Greek literature. And then the next category followed on was like mythology. You also had sports personalities, music. We had a lot of music questions, actors, film. It also went into things like superhero movies. So if you answered a question, so the categories almost follow on from each other, each question. So we answered a question about superhero movies. The next question, one of the choices of category was superhero movies, which we picked. And after that, the next one of the categories again was comic books. So they try and keep the same theme going sort of through the questions, I think, to kind of pander to your audience's knowledge, I guess. And you know, so everyone doesn't sit there and go, well, I don't know anything about, you know, you get a question about the year 1985, you know, I know nothing about the year 1985. All of us are just going to sit here and just blindly guess at what the answer might be. So I think it's quite good in sort of tailoring it towards the audience as well. But as I say, we only played two games. They lasted about 20 minutes each.
So it's an individual app for the game on your phone?
Yeah, so you own the game on your machine. Mine was a physical disc. You can also download it from the store. But yes, you each have to download an app called Knowledge is Power onto your phone as well.
I didn't realise that each of these Playlink games had their own app. I thought it was a Playlink app because I know that the new Planet of the Apes has its own app, because that's why it was... Remember it briefly went on sale and then was pulled really quickly? That was because the app wasn't ready.
Oh, right.
Apparently. I don't know if that's confirmed, but they'd submitted the app to Apple, and Apple, you know what Apple's like for their you know, process of getting the app on the App Store
can yeah.
take a bit of a while. They give you a release window rather than a release date and cross lines, and that's what happened there, apparently. So I know that got its own app, and this has got its own app. So is that how Playlink games are going to work with individual apps? Because I don't know if I like that.
No, so it's something I didn't know until I looked at the back of the box.
There is a Playlink app, isn't there?
I have no idea. I haven't even searched for a Playlink app.
I've seen just a whilst you're talking, I'm just going to have a quick look on the Android store.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just had a look at the back of the box and said, download the Knowledge is Power app. And the people I was playing with, we had this conversation about how we thought it was odd that it's got its own individual app, rather than there being a centralised app for all of these games. But then we did wonder, if they've got a centralised app, does that make you have to have an account? Does it make it a little bit more, difficult for people to sort of approach it, and it makes it slightly less accessible? You know, I play with Adel and my partner Kim, and you know, Kim doesn't have a PlayStation account of any kind, and it's very easy for her to just download the app and start it up. And these connect via local Wi-Fi as well. So our phones were searching for a PS4 running the game.
Okay, that makes sense.
Rather than being able to play in any other way. I mean, Adel was round because we were recording the latest episode of Tanked Up, and we had Lucy on Skype with us as well. And we were going to, all the three of us were going to try and play together, but when we worked out that it had to connect over your local Wi-Fi, there was no chance that Lucy was going to be able to play with us, so she disappeared. So, and we thought it might have been a bit more like Jackbox Party Pack, where you link into somebody else's game, but it's not, unfortunately.
That is a shame. Seems like a bit of a missed opportunity there.
Mm.
So I a quick search on the Play Store on Android, and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different Playlink games already.
Yeah.
SingStar mic. Apparently, you can use your Android device as a mic for SingStar. That's really clever, actually. I like the idea of that. Obviously, the Planet of the Apes one, Knowledge is Power, Hidden Agenda, That's You, and I suppose the PlayStation app in seconds doesn't really count. But yeah, so I think I'd rather a single app, but I kind of understand why that might limit the.
Maybe it's something we need to ask Sony about.
Yeah, and get a response a year later. Yeah. So I've not really been playing any recent titles. I finished South Park now, which was absolutely fantastic.
Nice.
But Black Friday sales, I did pick up Evil Within 2.
Ooh.
I was going to get it digitally. It was £25 on the PlayStation Store, but I found a cheaper deal on Amazon where it was £19.99 with free delivery. So, yeah, I quite like physical discs. I prefer digital discs, but for the sake of a fiver, you know, it's more justifiable this close to Christmas to get, you know, the £20 version. So that's not arrived yet. I was hoping it was getting to this morning. And the other game I picked up was Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, yeah. Which
I've played before when it first came to consoles, I played it, and I wasn't a fan. Mm. And then recently, I, for some reason, started dabbling with Oblivion again and got that Elder Scrolls bug, and I saw it on sale, and I thought, maybe I was a bit harsh on it, and I gave it another go. And I'm about 4 or 5 hours in, and I'm quite enjoying it, actually.
Have you got a group to play with? Are you doing it by yourself?
No, so I'm playing it solo at the moment, but I have just convinced my other mate that he didn't like it in the first place, but he's a huge Skyrim fan as well. I have convinced him to grab it whilst it's cheap as well, and he's going to jump on and give it a go. But, I mean, I think you can play a lot of it solo, so I'm not too worried about that. The story's pretty good. The quests are okay, and the combat's fine. So, I mean, it's not blowing me away. It's definitely not a new Elder Scrolls game, but I'll stick with it for now and see how it goes. I mean, I was itching to play it after I stopped yesterday. I went to work last night. I was working last night, dentist this morning, so I was gonna get home, and I'm looking forward to finishing this and having a go. So it's got its hooks into me. I'm just not sold on it as an Elder Scrolls game, because I'm a huge fan of the series. So I'm looking forward to doing the Morrowind expansion, because I love the first Morrowind. So
is that level capped? So do you have to be a certain level to do the Morrowind expansion, or is it something you can explore straight away?
I don't think so, but I think I'd rather save it until I've got a hang of the systems and that, because there's a lot going on in there. I'm just winging it at the minute. I don't really, because the tutorial was boring. And because I'd previously done it, it was like, would you like to skip the tutorial? I was like, yep. So I am winging it a lot and just Googling things. So there's quite an in-depth looking crafting system, and I just haven't got a clue yet. So I thought, I'll wait until I've, a good 20 hours in, got my character build how I want it, and know what I'm doing before I tackle the bit I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
So
nice.
That's that's pretty much it for me, really. Yeah. But I also got the Destiny 2 Season Pass ready for next month's expansion drop on the 6th, ooh, I think it is. Which actually ties into my first news story this week.
Yeah.
Which is Destiny 2 players not being happy with how the XP works. So this is a two-parter, this story. So I'll give you the first part of the story. So Bungie's admitted that there is a system in place that neuters XP progression during certain activities, and it seems to be as you're getting closer to leveling up to get your Bright Engram, which is the stuff that you can buy physical money for, it does start putting certain constraints on the XP progression, so you're not getting as much as you perhaps think you are.
Right.
I'll read out Bungie's statement. So we'll, you know, I'll try my best to read it out. My lip is flapping away as I'm talking. I'm getting more and more aware of it as we're going on. Right. We've seen, this is Bungie, obviously. We've seen community discussion around XP gain in Destiny. After reviewing our data, we agree that the system is not performing the way we'd like it to. Today, we'd like to describe what's going on under the hood and talk about what you can expect going forward when it comes to earning XP in Destiny 2. Currently, XP will scale up when playing longer or fixed duration activities like Crucible competitive matches and the Leviathan raid. And XP will scale down when playing activities that can be quickly repeatedly changed, like grinding public events. We are not happy with the results, and we've heard the same from the community. Effective immediately, we are deactivating this system. As a result, players will see XP earn rates change for all activities across the board, but with all values being displayed consistently in the user interface. Over the course of the next week, we'll be watching and reviewing XP game data to ensure that these changes meet our expectations and as well as yours. Any additional updates to the system will be communicated to you via official channels. Fair enough. I mean, at the beginning they say it's not working the way we'd like it to. Well, you did design it that way, so... but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt there. I personally haven't noticed it, but I haven't played Destiny for a while now because it doesn't have the end game the first one had. We're not going to get into that, but so I've not noticed this neutered XP process, but a lot of people have, and they were not happy about it. Then today, Destiny 2 fans have found a new XP issue. So less than 24 hours later, fans have discovered the amount of XP needed to level up in Destiny 2 has now been doubled. Destiny 2 now requires 160,000 XP to level up, rather than the 80,000 it was before. That's a bit naughty.
It's very, very odd. It seems like they've turned a system off, and it's reverted back to maybe something that was originally in there, perhaps? Maybe something, you know, that through playtesting they said, well, XP's, it takes 160,000 XP to level up. They playtested it and said, no, we need to drop that down. Let's put this system in place. So, you know, so it is quicker to level up, but we limit that sort of maybe towards the end of the level or towards getting these bright engrams and things like that. And that turning it off has reverted it maybe back to a previous.
Yeah, I mean, this code might be a temporary thing. Destiny has tweeted out, Bungie Help has tweeted out that and confirmed that that's what happened, is it has doubled to the 160,000. And you're right, it might just be the turning off has defaulted to that amount. It's just, I mean, before we started recording, we were talking about how we weren't going to mention loot boxes because I'm sure the listeners, as much as we are sick of hearing about it on podcasts. I listen to quite a few gaming podcasts, and it's just been Battlefront 2 this, Battlefront 2 that, EA this. So we're not going to go into that. But when we're talking about this, these are XP to get the Bright Engrams, which is what is, you know, their version of the loot box.
Yeah.
And so it does... It is hard to look at things like this and not be cynical about how it's working and how it was designed in the first place and so on. I mean, end of the day, the Bright Engrams is just cosmetic stuff, really. So it's not affecting the game too much, but it just, I don't know, there's just something about it seems a bit shifty.
It does, and considering other people's recent practices.
Yeah, exactly.
This has sort of gone under the radar, I guess, sort of the idea that people didn't know that it's the XP sort of gain slows down a little bit towards gaining something like these bright engrams. Otherwise, I'd imagine there'd have been a bit more of a backlash against them when Destiny 2 sort of released, or just before it released. For this to kind of come out now, I don't think it's that bad for Bungie and Destiny, really. They've got their player base. I imagine they've already seen a big drop off, you know, that point where people have played for a certain amount of time and then moved on to something else has probably already happened. So yes, this might upset their core audience, the people that are still playing now. Will it put people off continuing to play? Probably not.
No. See, I mean, like I said, I've dropped off now. I played it for a few weeks and then I went away to get married, and when I came back I didn't pick it back up again, but I'd completed all the content that was there anyway.
Mm.
So I moved on to other games, and I will go back for the XP. So, you know, I didn't notice this when I was playing. I probably wouldn't have noticed it when I go back to it. It's just an odd little blip in their way the thing works. It's very strange.
I mean, this is from Eurogamer, isn't it? This article.
This article, yes.
And a lot of people in the comments are, you know, saying, "Oh, it's very shady. This is me not playing Destiny 2 anymore." But you always find with communities that those that are the most outraged are the most outspoken. And you know, you have maybe 5, 10, 15 comments on just this one article saying, "I'm not playing Destiny 2 ever again." But you've probably got twice that amount of people who either haven't seen this, who will just continue to play anyway, who aren't that fussed about it, who are sort of, you know, they like Destiny 2, they like other games and stuff, but maybe they're not as into sort of gaming media and reporting as, you know, as we are, who this might just fly past completely.
Absolutely. I'm in a few Facebook groups, mainly for finding people to play Destiny 2 with, and the overall opinions is on Destiny 2 is pretty negative anyway, and the same on the Destiny 2 subreddit. Everybody talks about how much they hate the game, but they're still playing it. You know, so it definitely tends to be, you know, less positive comments and the negativity just mounts up rather than and it's not because I personally think Destiny 2 is a great game. I really, really enjoyed it. There are certain issues with it that I would see them, you know, change in the next couple of years, but they probably will, just like they did with the first Destiny. So, but yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see as the next couple of weeks go on, because they do say, Bungie has said that they're going to be monitoring it and looking at how it works now and listening to fan feedback. So it'll be interesting to look in a couple of weeks' time what's changed and when the new DLC launches in, because that's going to be, I'm pretty sure it's the 6th of December. Will they change it then? I'm sure that's going to add all sorts of new activities and things to it as well. So
yeah, and I'd imagine that'll bring a few people back as well, so it's going to be something they want to have dealt with before.
Yeah, bizarre. Speaking of going back to games and finding things you may have missed, a Bloodborne monster has finally been hunted down 3 years after the game's been released. I'll let you discuss this one. I've never played Bloodborne myself.
I've played all of the Souls games, but I've not played Bloodborne.
It's the one that surprises me. I thought you would have done.
We'll talk about it a little bit later. It just passed me by. I can't remember what else I was playing at the time when it came out. But Bloodborne, absolutely brutal game, giant monsters, all these sorts of things that you fight. And the article, which is on Push Square, and the footage that comes out, is of this undead giant, which seems to have like a fire sword. It's got loads of candles all over its back, a little bit of a shrouded face. And the article suggests that the flaming undead giant was first sighted at PlayStation Experience back in 2014, but most people had assumed it had been removed from the game after it failed to show up in the final release. But, you know, footage has now has come out And it's appeared in one of the game's randomly generated chalice dungeons. So it could just be that it's, you know, people maybe aren't running these chalice dungeons very much, that it's never popped up in one for somebody, that maybe they've come across it and just ran past it, or that they've fought it and just hadn't realised what it was, perhaps. But no one's ever sort of uploaded it or captured it and put it out on the internet for people to see. So I suppose it comes across as a new discovery. But it kind of begs the question, what else is hiding in Bloodborne? But not just Bloodborne, what else is hiding in other games of this nature?
Yeah, I do love people finding hidden things in games years later. Like, just little secrets that may never have been found. I mean, I've watched a couple of I'm a bit of an addict on those list YouTube channels,
right?
I can't think what they're called now. The really popular What Culture, that's it. And they've done a couple of videos on secrets in video games. I always find it really fascinating. But you'd think with the fan base that Bloodborne had, that they would have, you know, every inch of that game. I'm sure the Dark Souls community have searched every inch of Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2.
You would think so. I think this is something that comes up with... I mean, this isn't an Easter egg as such, but lots of sort of MMOs, bigger games with sort of persistently online, you know, have a lot of Easter eggs in from sort of like, you know, from culture, especially fantasy games. They've got a lot of things taken from other sort of fantasy releases, but because they've got such big player bases, things like this don't stay secret for very long. And I think it's more the time that this has taken for someone to actually, you know, realize what it is. 3 years is a long time, and to hold on to an audience, I think, for 3 years as well, is quite impressive. That people are still playing Bloodborne, you know, this amount to kind of be able to find these things, really.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when they found the Arkham City plans in Arkham Asylum. That was about 3 years after Arkham Asylum came out.
Was it? Fucking hell.
Well, I'm pretty sure that was after Arkham City was announced, or even out. I can't remember the full details. It might have been one of the devs that released it, and that was just bombing a random wall in an office.
Yeah.
And a little secret room. And Resident Evil 2 had that desk that, if you searched it 100 times, revealed that Wesker was, spoilers, the bad guy. And so on, and his plan or whatever. But like that's more Easter eggy than a whole villain that you didn't know was in there. So
yeah.
It's interesting. That's a bit fascinating.
It is. Yeah. Just, you know, what other games are there that have stuff still to be uncovered? I can't imagine there's anything game-changing or groundbreaking that we're missing out on from these games, but it's just nice to have these little extras.
Yeah, I always like secrets in single-player games. Speaking of single-player games...
Ooh!
Ah, this is it. This is going to be my new thing. Segways. Gran Turismo Sport has scored itself a traditional single-player campaign for free.
So it f***ing should.
Yeah. I by campaign, do they mean it's going to have a story, or is it just going to be... I mean, are we talking campaign here like FIFA's campaign, where you play as that bloke and take him through his career and life choices, or are we just getting, you know, a race after race after race?
Yeah, it's essentially going to be cup competitions, ranging on different you know, advanced levels, you know, beginner levels through to pro levels. I think PlayStation blog also said that there's going to be endurance races as well. And in previous Gran Turismo titles, you used to have just cups, just different sort of sets of races to be able to play through. But you also had the licenses as well, and then the licenses would allow you to then do different cups and things like that. So if you got your C grade license, you could then do these many cup competitions. If you got your B grade license, you could do these ones. The licenses don't allow them to come in, but just these sort of these cup competitions.
Well, that's why I asked if it was going to be like a story mode, because the fact it was making news, you know, for something it should have had in the first place. Because, sure, you know, I would have imagined there was a single player campaign in there. If you just said, because I don't play Gran Turismo anyway, I'm not really a racing fan, but if you said, yeah, the single player in Gran Turismo, that's what I would have imagined. So basically saying that Gran Turismo came out without all that stuff included, that seems a bit odd.
Yeah, it does. It was one of the biggest criticisms against Gran Turismo Sport when it released, and it may have been why they decided not to make this a numbered title and right. for Gran Turismo Sport to be the title instead. But, I mean, you've got classic sort of named cup competitions like the Sunday Cup, Clubman Cup, the Mazda Roadster Cup, Boxster Sprint, things like that, which have always been sort of like staples of the single player experience. And it's not a single player campaign. There's no story to it as such. It is just going, I'm going to play this set of these four races. And a lot of the time you're quite limited on the cars that you can use within these races as well. So there's one, for example, which is four-wheel drive challenge. You'll only be able to use cars which are four-wheel drive capable. So it's things like that that kind of just give you a little bit of variation and maybe a little bit more challenge by setting sort of certain parameters for you in doing stuff like this. But I mean, that essentially was what the first couple of Gran Turismo games were.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's free and they're not charging for it. I think if they turn around and said, right, well, your first DLC pack is going to be the single player mode, I mean, could you imagine the backlash on that?
Ooh, so you pay an extra £10 for it.
Yeah, let's not complain that, you know, it is going to be a free update on something that should have been there in the first place. Fine, that's fine. You know, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, with it, a load of cars are coming to the game as well. I think something like 12 cars are coming. With this release, there's a few more coming to the November patch as well, which actually drops today, day that we're recording this. But the GT League, as it's being called, is coming in December 2017. There's no hard date for that, just December at some point. And it might be that I wait to crack open GT Sport when I know that this is going to release.
Because you got it in your
bundle,
didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite a nice... I've not played GT Sport, so I don't know what they have in there in terms of tutorials and things like that. But I always found that these sort of act, or at least the first couple of cups in the beginner leagues, always act as a good way to get back into that sort of sim racing mode.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that single player update should wrap up the package quite nicely.
Yes.
And that will wrap up the news for this week, because it's a bit of a slow news week, really. But like I said, we're not discussing loot boxes and Battlefield, as seems to be the ongoing story every website's running. So we'll give that one a miss, and that wraps up our news section. As it's episode zero, we haven't really got the features that we're going to plan on doing sorted yet. But we have got plans for future content for the podcast, including PlayStation Confessions.
Yes.
Which is us confessing our PlayStation sins, such as I didn't know the PlayStation 2 logo could be rotated. So for years, you know, on the actual physical PlayStation box.
On the machine.
For years, I was bugged that the fact that my PlayStation thing was the wrong way round when lying on my shelf, until I recently was fiddling with it and it turned. And I'm like, my God.
Oh, 15
years
or
so later.
Remember that being one of the first things I did when
I don't understand how I missed it, because I
Googled vertical.
It. Yeah, I Googled it thinking I discovered some big secret and everyone knows. I'm like, well, why did no one tell me?
Yeah. You never asked the question, perhaps.
Well, I just silently seethed in anger every time I saw it instead. PlayStation Confessions, if you've got any PlayStation Confessions, please email them in. We will have a dedicated email address for the podcast next week, but for now you can email them at podcast@outerlives.net. that right?
That might be right. We do have already. It's already been set up. We do have the PlayStation forecast email address. I am just scrolling back through our chat to find it, and I will have that for you in a moment. Adil has set it up for us.
I didn't realize he had done it. Oh. Good boy, Adil.
It's going to take me a while. No, I don't know where it is.
I'll move on. We're also going to shine a spotlight on each studio. So we'll just highlight one Sony studio each week and talk about the games they've made and what we like from that studio. I imagine when we run out of Sony studios, we could probably broaden that to the other studios, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
There's a few.
Oh yeah, we're not going to run out
studios as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Everyone talks about Microsoft sort of shuttering studios down quite brutally, but actually I think there's almost sort of 9-10 studios that within about a 10-year period Sony have closed down as well. So
and not just little studios either. I mean, looking at the list that you've done, there's a few names that you think, that's quite sad.
Yeah, very much.
And then you look at the ones that are still active and you think, why have they not shut down? Anyway. So that's what you can look forward to in future episodes as we start our major one next week. We're going to aim to drop on a Wednesday. Is that right?
Yep.
We're sticking to our Wednesday release date. So yes, we'll have a podcast out on a Wednesday. We record on the Monday, and if not possible on the Monday, the Tuesday. So the news will be pretty relevant, or as relevant as it can be for a podcast. I hate it when we do one and then literally an hour after stop recording, something drops major, and then we just look like we are out of time, out of date.
Yeah, completely.
And I
think as well, previously when we were doing another another podcast, I don't remember the name of it. I'm not even sure it really existed. I'm not really sure. I seem to remember it released every couple of weeks, if it did exist. But hopefully now we're going to be coming weekly.
Yes.
We won't have 2 week old news that released a week. An hour after we recorded the episode. So.
Yeah,
we're not going to be, as you say, out of time.
Weekly is the way forward.
Yes.
Because I forget. I forget what podcast I listen to after 2 days, let alone 2 weeks. Have you got that email?
I have got the email. So the email address is playstationforecast@outoflives.net. Of course it is.
That makes a lot of
Why
sense.
Wouldn't we have just thought that was exactly
It's best to make sure. So email any questions. Email your PlayStation Confessions. Email anything you'd like to see us talk about. Email what you had for dinner. Just send us an email. Make us feel wanted. And let us know what you want from a PlayStation podcast. I think, you know, the PlayStation podcasts out there at the moment seem to be dwindling.
Yeah, they do.
So let us fill your void. That sounds a bit dirty.
Sounds a bit sexy.
It does, doesn't it? Maybe not fill your void. Maybe just let us into your hearts. Sounds a bit more romantic there.
A little more.
Yeah.
Definitely works better.
It does. So I think we'll leave it there, wrap it up, and we'll be back with our proper episode one with our lovely new theme tune that should hopefully be finished, which will be embarrassing if it's not, and we'll discuss everything PlayStation at the PlayStation Experience.
Woo!
Woo! And yeah, thanks for listening. Please drop us a review on your favourite, iTunes or other podcast app, but iTunes charts quite important. So if you could just drop us a review and like, subscribe, and tell your friends, tell your mum, tell your dad, email us to your grandma. Download the episode, stick it on a disc, and post it to your next door neighbours. Just get the word out there, you know?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it is. Though if you do burn it to a disc, make sure they then log on and review it, because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, write on big marker pen on the front of the disc. Review this, please.
Yeah. And that's that. So next week, we'll hopefully have more news, because it was a bit dry this week. So hopefully there'll be a downpour to discuss on next week's PlayStation forecast. See what I did there?
I did, it's good.
I really think we're going to run out of weather puns after about 4 episodes.
I was thinking 2, but yeah, sure.
No, I'll just stretch the same one. Thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.
Cheers, bye.